The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
As we step into our interview with our tennis coach, Ms. Cherise Arjun, and let's talk about uplifting the youth through sport. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, Ms. Arjun, and good morning to you.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. So it's my birthday, so I'm so excited to do this interview today. It's
You're an Aries born?
Yes, I am.
Aries rule. We rule. Yes. Good morning
to
you.
That you do.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. They say that you are a tennis coach, yes?
Yes, I am.
All right. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How you got into tennis? Was it by for passion, or was it that your mom and they say, look, you need to do something? How you got into the game?
Well, it all started after SEA, mm-hmm. many moons ago. My mom was fed up of me saying that I'm bored at home. Mm-hmm. Because I was always that child that always was outside, and I get bored quick too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's an Aries thing or what.
Yeah, we...
Because up to now, I am still, like, I don't like having one cycle mm-hmm. and doing the same thing over and over. So we were driving in Faizabad, because I'm originally from Faizabad.
Okay, great.
And we saw a coach with some students. And she was like, you know, you could probably try that. So she found out about the classes, and, well, I started there. Mm-hmm. And from the first class, I actually fell in love with the sport.
Right.
I was 12 at that time. Yeah, I was 12. Mm-hmm. And I've been training since then.
And have you...
And I ended up... Sorry?
Have you represented, like, schools, your country in different tournaments?
So when I was actually supposed to do the trials and whatnot, I got injured. Okay. So I never got the opportunity to represent the country, but I've played in a lot of tournaments. Mm-hmm. But after that injury, I stopped playing for about 4 or 5 years. And I started back in 2021. Mm-hmm. And that's when I decided that I wanted to actually be a coach, because at that point in time, I think that my time kind of ran out for certain things, mm-hmm. to accomplish certain things as a player. And I actually wanted to teach people to do the thing that I love the most.
Right.
So I started coaching, and from then to now, I definitely enjoy doing that. It's probably my favorite thing to do. I look forward to my classes. I have adults and children. Mm-hmm. I look forward to all my classes.
So what about the game that fascinates you so much that you want to continue in this game? Because some of us would just see a yellow ball bouncing from left to right. You know, what about the game that really fascinates you?
It's a lot harder than it looks. Mm. It's actually really, really hard. But it's you on the court against one other person. It's not a team sport, and I've been more of a... I'm more of a loner, you could say. I'm a people person, no? Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm a definite people person. But when it comes to doing things, I like to be on my own most times, and being on the court there, I don't know, for some reason, as soon as I step on a tennis court, whatever's on my mind, it just shuts off, mm-hmm. and I get to enjoy myself. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it is probably running down the ball and, you know, accomplishing certain things, hitting the shot correctly, and, you know, mm-hmm. it's something about it just, it takes everything away from me. So that's my peace of mind, I could say.
The thing is, it's a very physical sport as well. When you're thinking of, you know, getting the ball to the different points on the court, you know, to have an ace inside of a game is like a special thing, because it takes real technique and talent to get to those points.
Yeah, so you feel really accomplished when you do achieve those things. Like, say you're playing a match and you save an ace, so you hit a ball and the opponent can't get it back. Mm-hmm. Or it feels really good when you do that. Mm-hmm. It is physically demanding. I actually have a slip disc right now in my lower back. So the doctor actually told me that I can't really play tennis as I used to.
Mm-hmm. Well, sorry to hear that. Now,
that's okay. When I first found out about it last year, it was the most depressing thing ever. I felt like everything was against me. Mm-hmm. Because as I said, this is my peace of mind, and walking on the court actually frees me from whatever is, you know, any little negativity or anything, any stress or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my peace of mind right there.
That's your safe space.
Yes, that's my safe space.
So tell me, in terms of how you've been developing the sport with young people, how can that translate to, you know, helping them through sport? What about sport, as for you and also for those that you teach, is beneficial and something we should pay attention to?
Well, sport teaches you a lot of discipline. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people actually underestimate that with sport. It actually boosts your confidence as well. Because I have always been a shy person. I would have never been probably doing this interview right now if I never used to play tennis. I always say that because when I was in Form 1, I did a pageant in school, right? And as soon as I looked into the crowd while I was giving my speech, I just went blank. That's probably the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I just went blank. I forgot everything I was supposed to be saying. But somehow with tennis, I ended up socializing with a lot more people. And, you know, the opportunities are there to meet different types of people in different, you know, fields and careers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And through tennis, I think that is what helped me because, you know, you're by yourself on a court. And you're fighting for yourself, you're fighting for you to actually win a match and all of tennis. You notice that a lot of the players now are just abusing the equipment. They would mash up a set of rackets on the court, they would quarrel.
Anger management is necessary in the game of tennis. You know who I instantly thought of when you talked about destroying rackets? John McEnroe. He was a very ill-tempered player and vented his frustration a lot on the court in that manner, you know?
Yeah, that is true. And even players like Novak Djokovic, who was the number one for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I don't like to see when they do that because I know there are children that look on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen in tournaments where junior players are actually trying to mash up rackets too.
Mm. Well, they think it's something that will get them the space online, not so a little attention.
Yeah, but at the same time too, I think if it is you love the sport and you have respect for it, you wouldn't do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, I am really big on that. Anybody that know me know that that's one thing I don't tolerate. Even with my students, I tell them, and I even told the parents, I was like, rackets are so expensive and there's so many people around the world that can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that we should be destroying it or, you know, just doing those things. It's disrespectful to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
So how?
So I really don't like to see that happening.
Yeah. Now, if you could tell them a price, then probably they will, you know, understand how expensive. Because just the Wilson balls and the rackets, that brand, and it's quite expensive. The thing is, how can we now, moving from 2025 into the space of trying to figure out how to save our youth, how can sports be adapted overall to get them on the right track?
I would say encouraging them to play more because, like I said, sport teaches you a lot of discipline. And I've seen it time and time again with different students and even other players too, even past national students as well. They would say that tennis saved their life, you know. And this is with any sport. If a child actually look like they're talented or they have some sort of love for it, I think, you know, we should get rid of the old time thinking of, you know, all right, it's schoolwork, 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 and that's it. And if you don't do your schoolwork, well, you can't do anything else. Schoolwork is important, but at the same time, there should be a balance. And when we push children more with just one thing, so pushing them in lessons and school and all of that, that's cool, but they need to have a balance where they can actually go and release in a positive way. So when the Ministry of Sport have their free camps and whatnot, it's good because different youths in different parts of the country who can't afford it, they would actually get exposed to it. The thing is just to have programs after that to include them so they can continue practicing the sport, whichever sport it is, you know?
Because once you see the talent, you'd want to nurture that because that would be future representatives in different
yes.
games. Yeah.
And sometimes they come from different communities where, you know, and different families where they can't afford it. And tennis is a very expensive sport. I mean,
yeah.
like the shoes, the clothes, mm-hmm. the rackets, everything is very expensive. I am really grateful that my parents carried me to actually learn, and they invested a lot into me to mm-hmm. do all of this. So right now, I will never give up tennis.
Because
mm-hmm. they put a lot into it, and as much as I can't play like I used to,
mm-hmm.
I think coaching is something that really and truly inspires me to keep going. I see my students. I have a couple of them well, but one of them, he's just in 9, and he first started last year. And last year, the first 2 tournaments he played, he was the finalist. And then the first one this year, he played... he won, but he's so competitive. That child actually is an inspiration to me, his competitiveness and dedication to it. And he plays different sports,
mm-hmm.
a lot of different sports.
The multidisciplinary athletes, they are amazing to watch because the way that they adapt is something to
yes.
see. Yeah,
and that's the thing. So he just did 9 and he have all of this already. You know, the coordination and whatnot. Because
mm-hmm.
I've dealt with students that can even catch a ball on the first day that they came.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to teach them to catch. That's because, you know, they're at home on a tablet or on a phone, right? True.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, we could talk about how those, you see, like the very skill that you talked about, catching a ball, how that
mm-hmm.
it develops the child and helps them out in school. All right, so stay tuned, TNT. We're speaking with Miss Cherise Arjun, tennis coach, and we'll step into our first break. All right, TNT, welcome back. So we're speaking with Miss Cherise Arjun, avid tennis player and, of course, coach, and we're talking about the role of sport and uplifting youth through sport. And one of the points that you brought up, which I found very interesting, and sometimes we kind of forget about it, the technical aspect of sport. You spoke about learning how to catch a ball and how those skills can translate into the school life. Can you tell us a little bit more about that side of your coaching experience?
Yeah, sure. So basic stuff like throwing and catching and stuff, that actually improves focus and concentration.
Mm-hmm.
So physical activity itself increases like blood flow to the brain, which can improve brain function, obviously. And is a lot. It takes a lot because remember, if you're standing somewhere and somebody throw a ball at you, yeah, actually, it takes a lot to, you know, you have to be focused and you have to concentrate to actually catch the ball.
Because
if you don't, you're going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's as simple as it could be explained.
Mm-hmm.
It does improve focus and concentration because you do have to stay connected with whatever it is you're doing. And that translates to school because when a teacher is teaching, you have to be focused, else you're not going to learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would forget whatever is being said, or you, sometimes your mind would stray and you wouldn't even hear what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Now, from that aspect into we're learning about sportsmanship and camaraderie, that would be a very important part to learn as well.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
for sure. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was wondering, you know, have you seen young people transform from being a mischievous child into someone who has, like, purpose when you get into tennis?
Yes, I've seen that. I've seen former national players. Like I said, they said that tennis saved their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going down different paths in life, and when they started playing tennis and a coach actually invested their time in them,
mm-hmm.
they changed. You know, they did not go down that path again, and thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know if they would have been alive now.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Well, so, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
So, yeah, that's how it actually, it influences you to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And then you learn, but while playing and competing and stuff, you learn things along the way. So you learn how to be a better sportsman and just to be a better person. I totally don't agree with what you just said there. We need to create more opportunities for the youths as well to keep them off the streets, to keep them grounded, mm-hmm. you know. And they don't always get that much opportunity. We have facilities in the country, not just for tennis alone, but from various sports that covered in bush.
Mm-hmm. And not well maintained.
Facilities are going through,
yeah.
You know, and we need to have that space for youths to actually go and see that, hey, you know, I'm actually talented. I could score some goals in football. I could play probably hockey. I could play basketball, volleyball, tennis, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't get that opportunity. We have all the facilities here, and that's a big problem. And that's something that I would love to see change, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of rehabilitation, because I'm sure Princess Dawn mentioned in his contribution, you know, trying to have youth stay away from the bad influences that are well abound, as you all know. Can sport be used as a form of rehabilitation, let's say, for people in YTC, the kids in YTC, youth camps, troubled kids?
Yeah. It actually can help, yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Because I'll use an example from 2022, right? I coached at the Ministry of Sports summer camp
mm-hmm.
in August that year. And they actually invited children from various homes to come. And, you know, you actually see that some of them are really sad because, you know, they're in a home and they have no parents.
Mm.
All they have is the people that's there and the other children.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them would vent because as a coach, you end up like a therapist too, because
mm-hmm.
children or adults just tend to vent to you because they see you as that person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So sport itself would help with that. And that's why I would always encourage people to get involved, involve your children in it. You never know how that can help them mm-hmm. in a very positive way. Just like I say, the tennis court is my peace of mind. That's my safe space.
Mm-hmm.
Once we give youth that place, I'm sure a lot could be prevented by giving them a safe space.
Are you aware of any programs that may exist like that now? That for those who are listening, maybe a mother or a father listening and wondering, how can I get my child involved? Because, you know, it's a little too much for me to handle. Are there programs like that now?
Well, right now, actually, Sport TT is having a camp from next week. It's mm-hmm. a four-day camp, but this is just the fundamental motor skills.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic training and catching, jumping, balancing, and those stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is for free, and it is starting next Monday. You'd have to visit Sport TT Instagram or Facebook page, and you'll get the link to register. And it's different parts of the country. I'm actually looking for the info here so I could give you all one time.
Not a problem. Because I know that for that information to be there, I guess you have to be really interested to seek it out. And I believe they would have like different locations, because not everybody could come from, let's say, Mayaro up to Port of Spain to do a camp.
Right. So they actually have, well, plenty of the venues have filled up already, but they have the Southwest Regional Indoor Sport Arena, Faizabad Secondary School, Sangre Grande Secondary School, Maruga Multipurpose Sport and Youth Facility, Tabaki Secondary School, Diego Martin North Secondary, Mayaro Regional Sport Facility, and Francis Seapole Recreational Ground in DB. Those are what are available now. They still have spots there, and it's for ages 7 to 14, and it's 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and they provide lunch. I just give a full ad for this camp here.
No, but the thing is, we're talking about uplifting youth, and there are, like I said, many people who are not have access to the information via internet or you know, etc. So opportunities like this to hear it on the radio, I'm sure someone is saying, let me see if I can get my grandson inside of this, because I can't handle him and need some guidance. And
it could have been like, it could have been a situation like me and my mom too, where she was put up with me saying aboard.
I want something to do.
Because I would have been a total pest to her at home, just repeating the same thing over and over.
Now, the most memorable moment for you playing tennis, can you recall?
Yes. I have a few, but I played a match. I used to always love playing tournaments in Tobago. Although the sun, I don't know why the sun is feel different in Tobago.
It does. I agree.
It does. Yeah. I played a match, and it was like 3 hours long. I never thought I would have been able to do that in that hot sun. I won. Obviously, that would make it even more memorable that I won. But I didn't believe that I had it in me to actually complete a match for so long. And that year was the finalist in that tournament. So it really was a high moment for me. And in coaching, I think it would be seeing my students and them compete now. A lot of them are now getting into more competition. So seeing them compete and actually seeing them do what it is I taught them. I am most proud about that.
Do you have a favorite? I hope none of them listen, but do you have a favorite?
Amongst my students? Nah, afraid to say that. Nah. I love all of them. All of them have real different personalities. And their parents always say that they behave more like children around me. Because even the one that I told you in different sports, right? His mom would tell me, you know, when he go to badminton, he just be more serious and he doesn't behave like a baby with you. He just behaves like a baby. But as much as he's behaving like a baby, he pays attention, he does what he have to do.
I think too, it's more of the environment, because if the environment tends to be a whole lot calmer, you know, you tend to see more come out of the child. And if it is a whole lot stricter, where you say no talking, you know, they have some coaches like that.
Yeah, so my motto is to be the coach that I needed. I mean, I've always loved my coaches. I had like 3 different coaches. But each one of them was something different to me. And I always thought that as a coach, you're supposed to be able to be a lot of things for your students. So if it is your student needs to vent or needs to talk about something, they should feel comfortable enough to talk to you, so you can actually address it. So if something is bothering them, they should be able to tell you. If they're not feeling well, they should be able to tell you and not be afraid of you. to tell you anything, you know? So that's who I always wanted as a coach. I've had some strict coaches, I won't lie. Some really strict coaches. But yeah, that's I want to be that coach. And I think I am that coach to them. Because, like I said, they are very playful around me, but they're serious when it is they have to play tennis.
And there's no time and place. All right.
They do that.
What is your best advice for any player playing the game, old and young?
Stay focused and keep training, because this sport is evolving daily. And it's something that is an individual sport. It's not a team sport where you can depend on other people, like football, you know. All right, if you slack enough, then your teammates gonna keep it up a little bit. No, this is you. It's you versus one other person. So you need to stay focused, keep training, and, you know, doing just because you win a tournament or two means your head needs to be swollen, you know. Stay humble and keep going, because at any point in time, you're going to get licks again. And even if you get licks, if you lose a tournament, that's fine.
It's you how you pick yourself back up.
Exactly, just like in life. If you make a mistake or in school, you gotta, you probably fail a subject. You learn from whatever it is. You go through your whatever mistake you made, and you correct it and move forward and pass it the next time. That's all.
So, from the youngsters playing the game, how about the parents? Because, you know, they have some very enthusiastic, for want of a very nice word, parents. Do you have, as a coach, any advice for them?
Just keep supporting them. I've seen parents as well who try to be the coach. I don't have any of those, thankfully. I don't have any of those. But that's one of the challenges that we face as coaches, where the parents feel like they know that, okay, yeah, they're supposed to be doing this, when in reality it's not that they're supposed to be doing, you know? The parents of my students, the fathers actually, they would come and they would watch, they would take in the lesson, and sometimes they would come and they would play too. And I always encourage them to come on the court and play. We would play doubles. And, you know, it's fun. And the children do enjoy that as well. So, just know your place. that's what the parents need to do, you know. Know that, okay, I'm here for my child, for my son or daughter. I need to be supportive of them. We hired this person who's a professional, who's certified and whatnot. We need to trust and believe that the coach know what they're doing. I mean, to let them do what they have to do. Because a parent being a little too pushy can be a barrier in the progression, I should say.
So for parents, you know, you have to know when to step back a little bit. I was now about to ask, when you mentioned that you had the kids play the parents, was there any time where, you know, the kids actually beat the parents and then they had to hold their tail?
Yes.
That must have been a moment.
It's mainly boys I have. I have like two girls, but it's mainly boys. So, boy, you know, boys and their fathers, how it go.
Yeah, little competition.
It does have serious competition there. So they enjoy it a lot. The boys would give their fathers talks. And it just go back and forth. It's actually really warm to see that. My heart actually feels happy when I see these parents come on the court and they playing with their children.
So all in all, sport uplifting youths would be something that, I guess, not to be, obviously it is the political season that we're in, but something that these groups should look into, especially if they are concerned about the youth.
Yes, it's actually so important. And, you know, they would mention certain things. I don't talk politics at all, because it always leads to something. But I think this is something that they need to focus on. Go to the schools. We have so many really good athletes here that represent the country. We need to send them to the schools and let them talk to the students and them, mm-hmm. you know, talk to them, show them how to kick a ball, show them how to hit a ball with a racket, how to serve,
mm-hmm.
all those things, the various different sports too, you know, boxing and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get more people into the schools and get the children started, because PE is good. That's well and good. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we need people to actually go in there to inspire them. They need to see more pro athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of them here.
And I'm sure many that are willing to have that discussion that you're talking about, because we still need athletes to represent us. It never stops.
Exactly. And if they don't see what it is like from those athletes right now, they won't get that inspiration to even do it. They would think that sport is dead in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. as we're real, our focus is not on sport or culture. It's other things like oil and whatnot. So I think we need to definitely focus a lot more on that, because mm-hmm. that would definitely help.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you, Ms. Arjun, for coming in and speaking to us about uplifting the youth. And here's to your continued success and, you know, success with your charges as well as they explore the game of tennis.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this conversation.
And happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, you too.
Take care. Bye.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.